God, we are so thankful that you are who you say you are. God, we are so thankful that you are a God of healing. You are a God of joy and peace. You are a God of revival. You are a God of shalom. You are a God of prosperity and blessings. You are a God of life. You are our provider and our hope. And God, we thank you and we love you. God, we thank you that you pour out so many blessings on us. You pour out every promise on your of your word for us. And God, we thank you, and for the and we thank you, we stand on that. We're so thankful that you love us. We're thankful that you pour your love out on us even when we didn't know you. God, we thank you that you call us into more of you, more of your relationship, Father. It's not you that's changing, but it's us experiencing you more. So God, we thank you that you continually call us into you. God, I pray that we would step into your goodness even more as you're waiting there for us with open arms, with loving arms. God, we thank you. God, we thank you that we don't have to wonder if you have good things, but we know. Father, I pray that today as we continue to talk about our gifts, that we would just be encouraged. And that as we hear about these more gifts and new gifts that might be new to us, Father, I pray that we would step in and receive them, Father, that we would step in and experience them, that we would step in and be a part of the work that you're doing in our church and in this community. God, we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You guys can have a seat. Thank you, music team. So we're still in our series called Reaching Out, and it's our summer series, and it's what we've been doing basically since June. I think this is the 11th week of it, and we still have a few more, so I hope that, and I pray that you've been encouraged, that you've been blessed, and that you have been maybe inspired to step out into something that you didn't even know was a gift. And I pray that as we continue to talk, that you continue to be encouraged and blessed. So we started this series talking about increasing, succeeding, and prospering. And we talked about how the church, according to the New Testament, the role of the church is to equip the saints for the work of your ministry. I've been running through this every week, and it's just a reminder that every one of us is a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we all have a role and a place to play, a thing to do, and I encourage you to step up, rise up in your gifting as we continue to talk, and as we step into the fall season, I pray that I encourage you to step up and be a part of what God is doing in Rosetown and in this church and with each other. I believe firmly that there are good things happening right now in our church and in our community that we can be a part of. And the ministry that God has called us to, it's calling us into all areas of the world. And we need to have people who are good in various areas. We need to have people who are great at business, who are influential at business, right? We need people who are influential in the medical profession, who are able to speak God through all these different situations and be an advocate for Jesus in the medical profession. We must have people who are great in politics. Boy, do we need people who are great and strong in politics, don't we? And most of you probably know, and Stacy will throw something at me for saying this later, but most of you know that an election is happening on September 20th, right? And what we're going to be doing, and I don't have all the details sorted out, so watch Facebook. Call me if you're confused, because I'm confused on what days I'm doing this still. And I'll have it decided tonight, because I have to make sure everything works within my family, but we're going to be meeting twice a week either online or in person or a combination of both, to pray for this election. To pray that we're not going to pray, God, have your will, because we know what his will is. His will is to have godly leaders in place. We're going to be praying for godly leaders to rise up and stand up, and us as believers to walk in the authority that has been given to us and not sit there and lay down any longer and allow the man to kick it to us. We're going to advance. Okay? She shouldn't yell at me too much for that. We need to have godly leaders who are involved in education and arts and music and movies. We need, what better place for us to impact the entire world but through music, movies, and arts? Right? We need to be involved in all of these important areas and critical areas and other critical areas within the world around us that I haven't even spoken about just now. We need to have good, godly, gifted Christian leaders, New Covenant, New Testament believers in all of these areas of impact today. And we need to be advancing the kingdom of God. And as Jesus said, we need to occupy until he comes back. We don't need to sit there and say, oh, I just want to go up to heaven and, like, let's just get this rapture thing done with. So, no, let's advance the kingdom until Jesus comes back, because there are people in this community, there are people in this world that have not heard the gospel yet, that have not heard the authority that we have in Christ yet, that have not been told about this loving Jesus that we have in our life yet. And if they have, they've heard a wimpy version, and we need to stand up and give them a godly, New Covenant, New Testament version of who Jesus is and about the kingdom that we walk in. Amen? Sorry if I yelled there. I get a little passionate right now. That's right. And we need to occupy until Jesus comes back. We need to take ground for the kingdom, and we need to walk in all of the blessings that are already ours. We need to walk out the kingdom of God today. And I want this to be a season of growth for each and every one of us, not just in our gifts, but in as believers. And we've been talking each week about one or two, or we've been now talking about three gifts these past few weeks, and I want us to just finish this up. So we've talked about prophets, apostles, pastors, teachers, evangelists, and what they call the fivefold ministry. And then we've talked about leadership and administration. We've talked about words of wisdom and words of knowledge. We've talked about gifts of healings, and we've talked about miracles, and we've talked about faith. We've talked about giving, mercy, and helps last week. And this week we're talking about service, hospitality, and craftsmanship. These are all important gifts, and if you have one of these three gifts, never, ever, 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 ever say, well, I just got the gift of service. I wish I would have got one of those other gifts. Every gift is critical in the kingdom of God. And we need everybody operating at peak capacity in order to be as efficient as we can and effective as we can as the church of Jesus Christ. So I've got a couple verses that I'm going to read. And we're going to start here with Romans 12, 3 to 13, okay? It says, for I say through the grace given to me to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that has been given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us use prophecy in portion to our faith or ministry. Let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. In honor, giving preference to one another, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to the hospitality. And then we're going to read 2 Corinthians 8, 16 to 20. It says, but thanks be to God who puts the same earnest care for you in the heart of Titus. For he not only accepted the exhortation, but being more diligent, he went to you of his own accord. And we have sent it with him, the brother who prays is the gospel throughout all the churches. And not only that, but who was chosen by the churches to travel with us with this gift, which is administered to us by the glory of the Lord himself, and to show you ready mind, avoiding this, that anyone should blame us in this lavish gift which is ministered by us. So the gift we're going to start talking about is the gift of service. And this gift of service is this divine strength. It's a force, an ability to join others during great tasks in order to partner in carrying this weight. Okay? This allows us to, when we walk in this gift, I'm trying to remember how I had this worded nicely. When we walk in this gift, we partner with God in this vision, this mission, this goal of serving others. Right? The gift of service is a critical, critical gift in homes and in the church. This gift of service is a special anointing to identify unmet needs or areas lacking energy and necessary support and stepping in and supporting them. Believers with this gift of service bring the necessary resources and strength to help accomplish the goals of the church. That's why it's so critical. Without those with the gift of service, they're the workhorses, people. Right? Those with the gift of service are the workhorses. They're the ones that serve, that push forward, that help advance the works that we're trying to do. A picture that helps understand what a person with the gift of service brings is an extra set of hands added to a group of people struggling to push a car up a hill. Have you ever seen that? Man, isn't it nice just to have an extra set of hands, or when you're stuck and you're just like, oh, and you're rocking the vehicle in the snow. Let's not talk about snow right now. But you're rocking the vehicle and you're like, boy, what could I do with an extra set of hands right now? We can get, with an extra set of hands, you get some inertia going, don't you? And when you get the inertia going, what happens to the car? It starts to move. And that's what those with the gift of service do. Oftentimes, they are overlooked and underutilized, actually. Their effort and strength isn't enough to move the car, but when you have that final set of hands come along, it gives the energy needed to advance it to the top, to get it moving down the highway. I always laugh at the Canadian, maybe you've not seen it, but I've seen it a lot, so I'm going to share it. The Canadian police chases, right? Have you ever seen these? And it's the middle of winter, and you got the one criminal behind trying to push the car, and then you got the cop car behind him, and there's that one cop, the partner, behind trying to push him, and they're like 10 feet apart. They're both trying to push each other to get moving, and that's what we need. The guy trying to get away would have been a lot faster if the police officer would have been that extra set of hands and push, but that's not what we want. It just makes me chuckle when I see that picture in that video. Those with the gift of service bring much joy to those they're helping. If you have this gift of service, know your value, know the joy you bring, know the importance of what you bring to the table. You're causing completion and success to come, where without you, the team, the group, us as a church, us as a body, would have fallen short to achieving our goal. So that's why we need those with the gift of service. They often desire to help in practical ways in order to help serve others, to serve the church, to serve the body, to serve the community. They're critical. Their desire to take the weight off of others in specific ways and for specific seasons is often unmatched. Those with this gift are so critical to the advancement of the kingdom. So critical. And if you have this gift, lean into this. You need to be willing to serve behind the scenes to support others. And I don't want to say pumping the tires, but this is a huge gift, guys. And this is a gift that people often overlook, even those with the gift themselves, because they think of themselves as less. And you are not less when you serve. If you have this gift, you need to press into seeing the practical things that need to be done. This is important. You need to lean into helping others as a form of motivation for them. You're helping motivate the kingdom. You're helping stir it. You're helping press it forward. You need to remember the spiritual value of your practical gift. You need to remember that this is a spiritual gift. It's not just you got some extra muscles, so you can help out. That's not what it's about. It's you. This is a spiritual gift that is important for advancing the kingdom of God. You need to be available and willing to serve when called upon. You need to be faithful and reliable. And you need to look for practical ways to respond. And if this is you, also, these are some things to stay away from. Number one, are you listening to me on this? Don't be tempted to see your part as less important. You're not less important. Your role is not less important. As I said, without you, we're not getting out of the ditch. We're not getting up the hill. You are not less important. Don't fail to step aside or away when the part you are called for is done. Don't serve with the wrong motives. Don't serve to manipulate others or people, I guess, to your preferences. And here's the number one thing. Are you ready for this one too? So I guess it's kind of two things. Don't think of yourself as less important. But then also, don't be afraid to say no when you need to say no. You don't need to do it all on your own either. Don't be afraid to say no. It's important. That one probably could have gone on its own and we could have dove deep for a lot longer on that. But that's, guys, this is a critical gift that doesn't get looked as a spiritual gift, okay? It is a spiritual gift within the church. The next one is the gift of hospitality. And the gift of hospitality is a special anointing to create warm and welcoming environments for others. This can take place in homes, offices, here at the church, as well as other places. The gift of hospitality sees environments through the eyes of a guest who was invited. And what will they feel and how will they see what they come into? How will each element help them feel welcome, feel loved, feel invited? And there are many within this church that have this gift of hospitality. There are some who don't. And that's okay. We don't all have this gift. But it's important if you have this gift to make sure that you engage. Those with the gift of hospitality have this special gift to make the people feel welcome, loved, cared for. And they can do that without saying a single word sometimes. Those with this gift of hospitality share a message of love through the elements and are warm when they are greeted or when they greet someone. So if you have this gift, lean into these things. Use your ability to create an atmosphere of warmth where people feel welcome, loved, and cared for. If you see somebody walk through our doors or come and sit down, take the opportunity to sit down beside them or come up and talk to them and make them feel welcome. Don't be afraid. Be bold. Help new people feel welcomed. It's such a blessing to do. I know when I first came here to visit and preach, boy, I know I was coming to meet you all, but did I ever feel welcomed? And it was an incredible feeling. And you don't get that from all churches. And if you haven't been stepping out in your gift, and you're like, well, that's the pastor's job. No, step out in your gift and be welcoming. Show that hospitality that you have been blessed with. Allow your gift to help people feel at ease in unfamiliar situations and settings. Be friendly and sensitive, remembering to invite others along to join you. We're going to be eating right away, so if you're watching online, sucks to be you unless you can get here in time for us to eat. But when we're eating, make sure to invite someone to sit with you. Visit with them. Encourage them. Love them. Be trustworthy and warm to those that are coming into your presence, that you're sitting here and partnering with us to minister to. Critical pieces. And if this is you, stay away from these things. Don't forget, once again, that your gift has spiritual implications. How you interact with people has spiritual implications. So if somebody comes in and you are not activated, you're not acting out in, acting out is the wrong term. What's the right term? If you're not doing hospitality, if you're not using that gift, you have spiritual implications where people may not feel welcomed or loved when they come in our doors. And the fact is, when we don't activate in our gift and are not using our gift of hospitality, they may just be here for one Sunday and gone because they're going to think that place isn't very warm and loving. That place doesn't care about me. They just care that I'm in the seat. We need to be a place where people care about others, even if we don't know them. Don't become inconsiderate of your loved ones as you practice your gift of hospitality. What do I mean by that? Don't forget about your husband or your wife or your kids as you're trying to do hospitality, because they're your first ministry right now. Focus on them while doing your gift. Make them a part and bring them in and allow them to be a part of that ministry that you are doing. Partner with them. And don't become overly selective on who you share your gift of hospitality with. Open your gift of hospitality up to everyone, not just the select. And the last one we're going to talk about today is the gift of craftsmanship. What a weird gift to talk about. The gift of craftsmanship? The gift of craftsmanship is this divine ability to plan, build, and work with your hands, to construct environments or structures, to do God's will, to do things that He has called us to do. So examples of this, Noah and the ark, King Solomon and the builders of the temple, Nehemiah and the builders of the wall, yeah, bunch of people in a shed, Jimmy Joe building a set, everybody that has come and helped paint the church or do maintenance or work on the church. Not everybody can do that. Not everybody is gifted with their hands, but when you get together and you have this ability to plan it, see it, do it, man, what an incredible thing. The gift of craftsmanship is this ability to use your hands and the knowledge you have and have gained and worked on to build what God has instructed us to build and help others and loving others. The gift of craftsmanship allows the individuals to stand in front of dirt and visualize the building that can be. Visualize the sanctuary or auditorium as it should be. Visualize somebody's house as it should be or could be. Do you hear what I'm saying here? This is so critical. Without the people with the gift of craftsmanship, we don't get churches. We don't get people's houses that have new windows in them, or people with sheds to put their stuff in, right? We don't get people with a entertainment stand that they don't know how to build, and some people come along and say, let me help you. They don't have opportunities to minister to widows and people less fortunate with their needs. That's what the gift of those with the gift of craftsmanship, if I can get my words in order, those with the gift of craftsmanship, those are the things that they do. Is that less important? No. No. This is what I'm saying, okay? And I'm going to repeat this. I think I said this earlier today. Not one of these gifts is less or greater than the other. They all have their place. And that's what we read this morning. They all have their place. And when you operate and you function in the gift that has been given to you, we function better together, don't we? And if you have this gift of craftsmanship, lean into this. Use your gift to accomplish the practical and physical with spiritual implications. Can I repeat that for you? Use your gift to accomplish the practical things, the physical things that need to be done with a spiritual implication. Do you know what that means? Everything we do is done for the glory of God and is done to advance the kingdom of God. It's done because we love people. It's done because we care. That's why we do these things. And don't discredit that. Instead, walk in that and use it as an opportunity. Find the joy in the process of creating and seeing the results of labor. You know, something we used to do in Lloyd when I was there was we would move people. It was like we had a moving service almost. We're in a church of 1,000 people, and almost some weekends we'd move two families or two people. We had some cases where, you know, the husband physically wasn't able to do it. And we would step in as a group of guys and we'd roll in with my buddy's water truck it was an ice truck, because he owned a water company. We'd roll in with 20 guys and the pastors would be there and all the leaders and then just the guys, and we'd rally together and we'd go into a house with 40 people and pack this house up in less than an hour and have it unloaded. And it'd be amazing and it'd be incredible to see. Or we'd go in and somebody had a project and a deck. Our pastor needed a deck and he needed a roof. And some guys got together and we said, let's do something. So they made some calls and we all put money together. And pastor went to Hawaii for 2 weeks for a holiday that he hadn't taken in a long time. And he came home and he was moved to tears. And this is the opportunity we have. And I'm not saying this because I want it, but you know what I'm saying. that's not why I'm sharing this, but why I'm sharing this is we had an opportunity as people. The men would come and work, the women would be there working, and they'd bring food for each other. And we got to, well, I didn't go up on the roof because roofs scare me, but we built him put a new roof on. We resheeted part of the roof. His garage door wouldn't seal. We replaced the garage door. You know, just these things. We built him multiple tiered decks, and it was beautiful at the end. He came home and he's like, this isn't my house. And our pastor was in utter shock. And we got to do that, take the opportunity. And there's people in our community, people in our church that would probably love to have us come in and help out. So if that is your gift, I encourage you to step up and do that and be activated in your gift. Use your ability to be effective in ministry and meet the needs of others. Use your creativity and practical gifts in spiritual ways. Use your gift of design or bring help in the behind-the-scenes work. When we see the actuality of what I believe is coming for, you know, hundreds of people wanting to come to this body and be a part of this body, I still believe that. I still have that vision in my head. But when we have a giant Christmas thing happening here because we got 600 kids coming, I don't know. But be a part of building the stage and all the decorations that we need. You know what I'm saying now? Maybe it's we're making a giant ice fountain for the Christmas thing this year that's going to happen with the thrift store. And maybe Lyle's going to get out his chainsaw and make a swan out of a big chunk of ice. And you're like, yeah, I can build that form. You know, I don't know. But let's just step into these opportunities that are with us. So if this is your gift, stay away from these things. Once again, don't think that your gift is somehow less spiritual than others. Step into your gift. That gift is a blessing to everyone you can come in contact with. Don't forget the source of your gift. Don't forget that it is God that gave you that creativity and that ability. And don't forget that you don't have to do it on your own, but allow and call others into partnership with you as you advance and do this gift of craftsmanship. Does that make sense? I pray it does. You know what? It was the funnest part about our pastors when we did that, and we did all his work, was him trying to be an investigator and figure out who was part of it. And we all kind of came up to this pact that we weren't going to tell him. So he'd come up and, hey, Dave, like, do you know who did this? Like, were you a part of that? I'm like, what did what? What are you talking about? Yes, it was a little lie. But it was for the benefit, because none of us wanted to turn this into a me show, right? It was, we wanted to honor and bless. And we wanted to take the abilities and the gifts and the resources we had available to us and bless him and love him. And we can do that with each other. And that's cool. One of the funnest things, can I share what we did last year? John? Last year, some of you know, some of you don't know, John and Thelma moved into this beautiful place just a few blocks from us. Well, 5 blocks from us, but close. And we got the opportunity to come in and just hang out and build a shed for them last fall. we did a little cleanup and we made it work, right? And we helped them, and I think we built a pretty beautiful shed. And when I went to help Thelma and John till their garden this year, the shed was still standing. And it looked fantastic. And we had a lot of snow this year. And you know what? It was fun. We got to gather together and just be a blessing to them. And they got to bless us with some delicious meals. And we just got to hang out. And that's what this whole part about being a part of the body and all of us having different skills is, isn't it? And it's great when it functions like that, it is great. And it's fun and it is good to do. So be encouraged if that's your gift. Don't think of it as less. I know I went on a rant there, but I wanted to really encourage you, because it is a great thing when the church works together like that, isn't it? That's what our purpose is, to serve each other and serve our community. I'm going to invite the music team up, and we're going to pray. And you know what? We're going to, if you have a need right now, we're going to pray with you, and I'm going to invite you to stand and just, actually, I'm going to invite everyone to stand. That's what we'll do. This is what happens when I don't take notes. We just fly by the seat of our pants. We're all going to stand. If you have a need, I'm just going to encourage you to just like reach out your hand as we pray and just put your hand out. And we're going to pray once again for those people we prayed for at the start of service, plus a couple more that popped into my head. And we're going to pray for our election, that God will appoint leaders who are chasing after him and are godly. And that whatever situation we've had in leadership in this nation, will, as we prayed weeks ago, will be removed from power or from authority. I'm not saying that about any party. I'm saying that if they are not a godly person, that they will be removed from authority. So would you pray with me? God, we thank you, we love you, we honor you. Father, we thank you for each person that is here with us today. Father, we thank you for each person that is joining us online today, God. Father, we pray that you would encourage and bless and build up. Father God, we know that you are a builder and not a destroyer, that you want to build good things, that as you raise up godly leaders, Father, that negative, ungodly people will fall away, and that your cream will rise to the top. God, I pray right now, Father, for Erla's neighbor. Once again, God, we praise you and thank you for him. And God, we pray that you would just touch him. Father, bring godly people into his life, people that can speak your name, your life, your word over him. And Father, that he would come to know you in a real way. Father God, for the Cowans as they're out farming, God, we pray that your hand would be upon them. Father, give them protection, God, as they're working. Father, we pray right now for supernatural yields as they continue to go through the harvest season, Father. God, we praise you and thank you for just the work that you've already done with them on this farm. God, we pray for Dave Matchett's mom as she's starting to recover from bacteria and mold in her home, God. And as you repair her lungs from this, God, we pray that, that you would just touch her lungs, Father. Father, that her lungs would be breathing at full capacity. Father, that doctors that are working with her, God, would have wisdom on what to say, Father, and they wouldn't be speaking and focused solely on one thing, God, but they would be looking for the root of the problem. God, for Dave's uncle, Father, as he is in the hospital as well, God, we pray that you would just touch him. Father, restore his lungs as well. And God, we pray for Michelle, Father, that as she's still recovering at home, Father, from her cold, God, that your hand would be upon her, God, and just continue to strengthen her. God, for Gary as he's working, God, that your hand would be upon him as he's traveling and driving and supporting and loving on farmers in our area, God, that he would be a minister for the gospel everywhere he goes. God, for those that are in this room, God, and have a need, Father, we pray that your hand would touch them in a real way, Father, that you would remind them of the healing that you've already provided to them, that they would walk in that healing and that they would know your blessings. Father God, I pray for our house, my house, God, that our house of Lloyd Minster, Father, we thank you that it is sold. Father, it's not physically sold right now, God, but we are believing and standing on your promises, God, that we will not be a people of poverty, of lack, Father, and that we know that you have things in place. You have brought us here for this time, and we know that because you have brought us here, that house is sold in Lloydminster in Jesus' name. God, we pray for a buyer, and even as our realtor has called us and asked us to do a price reduction, God, that even today there is a buyer stirring. God, I praise you and thank you for each person here, Father, for each need here. Father, I pray that we would all walk in your blessings and in your promises. God, I thank you for the gifts that you've given each of us. I thank you for the desire of each of us to walk in those gifts and step them out, to do something for you, Father, and to love our neighbor. And God, as we're closing out here, Father, I pray that you would just give us opportunities to share your love. Share your gospel. And to share your mercy. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless, guys. Have a great week.